Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 5th of October 2015, the podcast that writes in Mickey Mouse. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Dave Turcotte. Dave, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. Am I going to piss anybody off this week? Who knows? Let's find out.
Hopefully. Let's laminate the news of the bogus. One of the many ways our country rigs elections is by keeping valid, balloted candidates off the debate stage. And the Commission on Presidential Debates is one of the biggest offenders here. They took over the debates 25 years ago after the National Association of Women had the audacity to invite Ross Perot to debate. So they set up three criteria for inclusion, two that make sense and one that is nothing short of banana republic rigging. The first is simply they have to meet the constitutional requirements for the office of president. Yeah, that's good. That's fine. The second is they have to be on the ballot in enough states to cover a winning number of electoral votes. And that's fine, too, because usually the debates happen after most of the deadlines for ballot access have passed. So if they're not on enough ballots by then, they're probably not going to be. But that's really tough to achieve because so many states have these really strict ballot access requirements, which is another way they have of rigging the elections. Well, if those two were the only criteria, I think it would be fine and there would only ever be three or four candidates on the stage. Hardly the chaos the statists say would happen if the third criteria weren't in place, because they say, oh, you know, what if there's, you know, 50 candidates? You're not going to get 50 candidates on the ballot in enough states to win, so.
But even if you did, so what? I mean, they would, if they had a valid claim, then why the fuck not?
Not true.
I mean, this whole thing with third parties really says a lot about how bullshit the electoral process is. And the fact that we don't even have an option for nobody really should say a lot.
Most states don't even allow you to do write-in votes unless they have a write-in candidate that has specifically qualified beforehand.
Yeah, and then they wonder why people don't vote.
Yeah. Oh, it's because you're apathetic. You're just sitting on the couch eating potato chips and watching Facts of Life reruns.
Well, as the old Rush song says, even if you don't make a choice, that's still a choice.
Yep. So anyway, their third criteria is they have to get at least 15% in 5 national public opinion polls. And not only is that hideously outrageous just on the face of it, the CPD also gets to select which polls they count, and many of those polls don't even include all the candidates.
Yeah, the ridiculous thing about this is the government is run by people, and people have their biases. Of course, they're going to pick and choose and go with whichever suits their particular preference. It's a complete con job.
Yeah, basically, they've made it pretty much impossible for anyone other than a Democrat or Republican to get on the debate stage. But despite several attempts at lawsuits, they've never actually gotten to where they can actually be heard before a court. I think the most egregious example was in 2004, where Libertarian Party candidate Michael Badnarik and Green Party candidate David Cobb filed a joint lawsuit against the CPD. The court told them they didn't have standing to file since they hadn't actually been excluded at that point, and they had to wait for the CPD's announcement. So the CPD announced it, and of course, neither Badnarik nor Cobb were included. So they immediately, right after that happened, just that morning, they went in, filed, and were denied their day in court. And for the reason, the judge cited the doctrine of latches, which basically means that they waited too long to file. Hey guys, Catch-22 was not a handbook.
It really says a lot. I mean, anybody at this point who doesn't believe that Democrats and Republicans are the same party, just look at the treatment of third parties, and that should tell you everything you need to know.
Absolutely.
The preferential treatment that the two major parties get. There's a reason for that, folks. The fact that there's no real difference and it keeps the same kind of thinking in power, there's a reason why it's all protectionism.
I forget who said this, but it's a great quote. It's like, if voting actually made a difference, they'd make it illegal.
Absolutely.
So now, the Libertarian and Green parties, together with their 2012 candidates Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, have filed a lawsuit, and their argument is pretty interesting. They say that the exclusion of these qualified candidates from the general election presidential debates violates antitrust laws. So according to Libertarian National Chairman Nicholas Sarwark, quote, For over 25 years, the Commission on Presidential Debates has used millions of dollars in tax-deductible contributions from big corporations to rig the rules, keeping Americans from hearing from anyone but the two old parties in debates. If two teams got together to make sure that only they could make it to the Super Bowl, people would be outraged at the cheating. With this lawsuit, we're standing up for the right of Americans to have fair debates between all candidates who are on enough ballots to become president.
To be fair, when it comes to football, you could blatantly cheat and most people will think it's a waste of time. The Patriots, anyone?
That's true, but I mean, that's a football game. That's not the elections to determine who's going to be in office.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying the analogy doesn't work because when football teams cheat, most people don't think it's a big deal, other than the media, who tries to make it a bigger deal.
Yeah. But the interesting thing about this legal challenge is they're using the antitrust laws, which, of course, libertarians are against. But my feeling is the Democrats and Republicans made those laws. They enforce those laws. They support those laws. They keep amending the laws to make them have more and more teeth. If they're going to do that and point guns at everyone else to make them obey it, I don't see any problem at all with making them obey it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So in their legal challenge, they say that the commission, quote, intentionally limits participation in the nationally televised debates to the Democrat and Republican nominees, placing other national parties' nominees at an unfair advantage, and they demand to include all candidates who are legally qualified to serve and whose name appear on enough states, basically the first two criteria that I read out earlier. And they've also founded a group called the Coalition for Fair Debates, which is an umbrella group for politicians, interest groups, and advocacy groups to open up not just the presidential debates, but debates all over the country. And their senior advisor, Ron Nielsen, said, quote, a majority of Americans do not believe the Republican or Democrat parties represent their views and are more ready than ever to consider alternatives to the status quo. They deserve the opportunity to see and hear from all the viable candidates, not just the Republican and Democrat.
Absolutely. If you're running for the highest position in this country and people have an invested interest in this, they have a right to know what all the candidates think.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll find a judge that just isn't in the back pockets of either the Republicans or Democrats. I mean, good luck with that.
Well, the only way you're going to find that is in fiction. Maybe Judge Dredd.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. One place the Fourth Amendment has always been on shaky grounds vis-a-vis the courts is with our vehicles, and more specifically with police stops. Despite the fact that our cars are very much our property, many court decisions have allowed the police to pull us over for basically any reason they want and come up with an excuse to search the car, like using a drug dog that can be easily manipulated. One state where the courts have resisted doing this is New Jersey. Until now. The New Jersey Supreme Court just struck down the requirement for police to get a warrant before searching a vehicle.
You know, I'm surprised this didn't happen sooner in New Jersey. New Jersey's a hellhole to begin with. Not only that, but you have Captain Authoritarianism himself and Chris Christie running the joint. Well, not the joint. He wants to get rid of the joints, but he's running the place.
Yeah. So this was a 5-2 opinion. The New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that police don't have to demonstrate an urgent need in order to bypass the warrant requirement. And what this does is really say we're going along with the federal standard, which does not require any exigent circumstances under what they call the automobile exception to the Fourth Amendment. Now, I've read the Constitution, I've read the Fourth Amendment. I don't see any automobile exception in there.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not there. You know, what the fuck is so difficult about getting a warrant? It's, what is so fucking difficult? You have to get a warrant. That's plainly written in the Constitution. You need to get a warrant. How the fuck any judge who's supposed to know a thing or two about the Constitution can outright say that this is legal? Other than they don't give a shit.
Well, what they said was that this was impractically strict and that it was just taking too long to do a highway stop. And they were having stops where it was taking like 1 or 2 hours for them to finally get the warrant so they could search the vehicle. But the reason why the stops were taking so long to begin with was that they were required by law to try and get consent first and only call for a warrant when that failed. They couldn't just go ahead and call for the warrant and then see if they can get consent. But, you know, I guess.
Whoopty fucking shit, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? When they, it took 1 or 2 hours. You know what? That's a good thing. I don't want cops having quick access because you know what? Even if you don't have anything in your fucking car, they can make shit up just to bully you.
Yeah.
And they get away with it. So, yeah, let them go through. Listen, they have no problem making us go through the fucking bureaucracy. Why can't they?
So, Justice Barry T. Albin, writing for the majority, said that the standard was, quote, too complex and difficult for a reasonable police officer to apply to fast-moving and evolving events.
That's blatant bullshit if I ever heard it. First off, there's nothing complex about it. Get a fucking warrant. Nothing complex about that. And secondly, a reasonable officer, last I checked, didn't they try to not allow somebody to join because they were too smart? So reasonable is not something that they're looking for.
Yeah, that's true. So there were two dissenting judges, and the dissenting opinion was written by Justice Janie LaVecchia, and she said that this was a shameful retreat to the federal standard. Quote, the court's decision today represents a radical change in our jurisprudence. This is not a proud day in the history of this court.
I mean, it's an obvious power grab is what it is.
Yeah, but sadly, that's become the standard for pretty much the entire country.
Yeah, it has. It's an absolutely sad and pathetic standard. But as they always say, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So,
but I mean, the thing of it, there's really two reasons why we want them to get a warrant before they search anything of ours. One is to make sure that they actually have probable cause, that they actually have a good reason for it, and they're not just, you know, wanting to look around and do a fishing expedition. The other is so they can specify, this is what we're looking for, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to look for it. And, I mean, there are all sorts of stories about the cops going through all this and getting the warrant or claiming exigent circumstances, or even getting permission from the driver to search the car. And the driver, of course, just thinks they're going to look around and see if everything is there. They don't expect them to, like, take out knives, cut up the seats, pull everything out of the car, and basically make it completely undrivable. And then they say, okay, well, we didn't find anything. All right. And then they just leave. And they're sitting there on the side of the road with a car you can't drive anywhere.
Yeah. The reason why warrants exist is a form of checks and balances. It prevents the police from having too much power and holds them accountable to not go beyond what the warrant says they're allowed to do. And the fact is, cops are tired of being bound by petty things called rules.
Yeah, rules are for you and me, not them.
It's fucking disgusting is what it is.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. And more censorship in the name of banning hate speech, whatever that is. I mean, it'd be one thing if they could specifically define it, but in all the hate speech cases, it just seems to be someone said something that I don't like.
Yeah.
Now, under pressure from Germany, Mark Zuckerberg told the UN that they were going to start policing hate speech on Facebook.
Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, you know, it's funny. This kind of ties in with some other news that's been happening in the gaming front. Zoe Quinn and Anita Sarkeesian also went to the UN to try and have a fight on online harassment and hate speech. And a lot of the Gamergate people are saying that this is bad because Anita and Zoe are doing this, but they ignore the part about the people with the guns that are willing to listen to them.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to my thing is like, if you can get a seat before the UN and tell them to silence your opposition and actually be taken seriously, you're the privileged oppressor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, this is looking weird. This is actually the Broadband Commission Working Group.
Yeah, the whole thing is fucking nuts. I saw a bunch of Gamergate people really talking about this, and their concern is over, like, for example, Grums, who's like a big, I think he's a game developer, but he's a prominent person within Gamergate. He's gone on record as to saying how Anita and Zoe are dangerous and that they're the most dangerous people to freedom of expression. And I'm like, no, the guys with the guns that are willing to listen to them are.
Yeah.
I think if you can move armies at a fucking whim, you're more dangerous than two individuals who are powerless without influencing the guys with the guns.
I'm skimming through this story and I'm seeing a lot of whining about people saying mean things to them online. Look, I have been accused online of threatening people with a firearm, which I have never done. I have been accused of being a member of NAMBLA, the North American Manboy Love Association, which I am not. And I have been accused of being a child molester on the North Carolina Sex Offender Registry, which you can just look that up, search it online, and find out that I am not.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And these are from skeptics, if you can believe that.
Oh my God. Send them towards Salon, because Salon's now defending pedophilia. Yeah, they're now trying to say that pedophilia is the new oppressed class.
Well, it depends on what they're talking about pedophilia. Pedophilia itself, the psychological definition, is a sexual attraction to prepubescent children. And you can't help who you're attracted to. You can only control if you act on it, and most pedophiles don't act on it. And they say it's only a psychological problem if you either act on it with a child or if for some other reason it prevents you from living a normal life.
Yeah.
But there are probably a lot of pedophiles out there that we don't even know about just because they keep their sexual orientation hidden and they just keep it to themselves, and it's not a problem because they're not actually out there molesting children, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they are... The stuff that they get is just nothing compared to what I've gotten over the years. I mean, if you're an internet activist, you get stuff like this.
Hell, I've been blocked by, people like... I was actually blocked by Brianna Wu, finally. Because... She said after 7 months of Gamergate, Gamergate forced her hand into becoming goth.
What?
Yeah. And she was like, who wants to debate me in feminism now? And I literally sent a response to her, what are you going to do, play shitty music at me to death? I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm so scared of the goths, yeah.
Just like the other fucking day. And this is kind of a tangent, but I went on a fucking shitstorm on Twitter about feminism. And I wrote about how the legal gap, you know, the court gap between men and women, how women can commit the same crime as men, have the same criminal background history, but they'll have far lighter sentences and all this other shit. It was after I saw a story about how, this was an older story, but a woman lied about being raped and perpetrated the lie to get the guy 20 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And she then admitted later on that she lied because she wanted to not lose her friends.
Wow.
Yeah, real scumbag piece of shit. And ABC presented this story like the liar was the victim. Yeah, typical bullshit that I expect from ABC.
Was the guy able to get out of prison?
Eventually.
Yeah, how long did it take?
I think it took 4 years.
Wow.
And, of course, in prison, if they find out you're a rapist...
Oh, yeah, they'd...
he had to fight off, like, other sick bastards that entire time. And to his credit, he did not hold a grudge. I think it's ridiculous that the both of them said religion saved the day.
Yeah, they always do. This is interesting. I've just gotten your link, so I haven't had a chance to look at it in detail, but there's this one part that says, quote, "After the briefing, the Broadband Commission published a detailed report on its research to its website. The 48-page document provides statistics on the rates at which women are harassed on the internet, analysis of the data, and a proposed plan of action to combat the issue." Okay, the first thing I notice, compared to what? Are they actually comparing the harassment female activists get versus the harassment that male activists like me get?
Nope, they never do.
Yeah.
Ever. In fact, first off, you're on the wrong side of the fucking gender and the wrong side of the debate. So, whatever happens to you, it's fucking irrelevant. I mean, speaking of Gamergate, somebody sent King a poll, who is on Twitter. They sent him a fucking knife with a note that said, "Kill yourself." And nobody gave a shit, because he was pro-Gamergate. So, if you're pro-Gamergate, and somebody sends you something fucking horrifying and, like, a threat to your life, it don't matter. But if you're Anita Sarkeesian, Zoe Quinn, or Brianna Wu, and someone says, "I disagree," well, fucking batten down the hatches. We need to get the army on your ass.
Well, it's like they're also talking about cyberstalking, and that reminded me of something that Zoe Quinn pulled with that ex-boyfriend of hers. She set up a Google alert for her ex-boyfriend and said that since she set up the Google alert for it, that every time he posted something about her, then that counted as contacting her, which means it was cyberstalking.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. Actually, from what I remember, she actually did... She tried to get that revoked. I don't know if it actually happened, but the fact that she tried to get it revoked pretty much validates him.
Yeah. All right, so getting back to our main story for this segment, Zuckerberg at the UN, and this was at the UN Sustainable Development Summit. He was talking to German Chancellor Angela Merkel about hate speech on Facebook, and he said, quote, "I think we have to work on that." And Germany has been doing a lot of criticizing of Facebook because it doesn't shut down hate speech on the refugee crisis, and they don't really say what they mean by hate speech. Is it just that people expressing the opinion that they don't want all the refugees there and they should keep them out, which I would disagree with it, but I wouldn't call it hate speech or racist or anything like that.
No, the whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, the writer even says that this is a difficult thing to discuss. No, it isn't.
No.
It's not fucking difficult at all.
Freedom of speech. End of.
Freedom of expression.
Yeah.
That's it. That is it. Nothing more needs to be fucking discussed. I don't want to pull the fucking Nazi card here, but come on, Germany, you're kind of letting your authoritarianism come back.
Yeah.
So you might want to calm down a little bit. You know, maybe go have some strudel or something. I have no problem defending people I don't like. I don't like the Westboro Baptist Church, but I'm on the fucking front line saying they have every right to do what they do as long as they don't commit an act of violence against other people.
Absolutely.
I absolutely stand by that. I stand by the idea of KKK people walking down the street if they want to. Same as I stand by the Black Panthers doing that.
I love that famous picture of the KKK guy at the KKK rally and the black cop in front of him defending him from the crowd.
Yeah.
Now that's a good cop right there.
Yeah. You know what? Oh no. The man said something terrible. He said something I disagree with. We gotta shut him down. Fuck you. I mean, you can't be nice to these people. You cannot be nice to these people because these people are willing to throw your liberty away. They view your liberty as disposable. They are not your friends. Even if they try to say they do it for you, they're not doing it for you. They're doing it for themselves because, one, they're insecure people who can't handle the idea of somebody daring to think differently than they do. And two, it gives them an ego boost to say that they speak for other people.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now let's redirect to Dev Null, this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to the Toronto Sun, who loves criticism so much they're now preventing people from posting it.
This is right along the same lines as what I was just talking about.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so this is another case where you have a news source and you have the article and then people can leave comments underneath it. Well, they've just decided they don't want to deal with it. They're not saying that this is just too much for their IT people to handle because of the load, or even just being honest and saying we don't really like people posting content to our site that we can't control. They claim they're killing comments because they want to foster a conversation.
The fuck does that even mean? Not even Orwell could come up with something so ass backwards.
So what they said in their note was, quote, "The voice of our reader has always been a critical part of The Sun. As a paper, we pride ourselves both on dishing out and taking criticism, especially when the latter comes from our readers." Okay, so why are they deleting comments? Well, they say, quote, "The increasing use of Sun comment boards for anonymous, negative, even malicious personal attacks, albeit by a minority, has led us to conclude that our current commenting system is not serving the interests of the majority of our readers."
Jesus fucking Christ.
So, of course, the solution is not to moderate the comments or anything like that. It's to turn them off entirely.
That's just fucking the height of laziness. I mean, listen, it's their site. They're free to run it any way they want. But don't act like this is anything other than fucking laziness.
Yeah, and they're also saying that they're moving away from anonymous commenting because, quote, "There are other options that encourage respectful, civil debate. But if you can't post anonymously, then there are a lot of things you might not be comfortable posting." I mean, we've talked before about how government has gone to these news sites saying, "Hey, give us the information on so-and-so who published this comment."
Yeah.
Anonymity, being able to, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but I mean, you look at a lot of things that were the pamphlets that were distributed about during the Revolutionary War, including the famous pamphlet Common Sense by Thomas Paine, and all of the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers that were going around when the Constitution was being discussed and ratified. Those were all published anonymously. It was only later on that we figured out who wrote those things and attached the names to it. They were published anonymously at the time.
Here's the thing that, for some reason, people don't get either. Having certain political opinions has consequences with those around you. If somebody's reading that article, let's say you work at a certain job and you have a certain employer who holds a certain set of political views, and they see you write something that they wholly disagree with, don't think they're not going to try and take it out on them in some form or another.
Yeah, or even worse, they're in a country where there's all this oppression going on. You say something that your government doesn't like and they make you disappear, or they take you out in the courtyard and stone you to death.
Yeah, they do have consequences. And what are you just going to tell them? Well, you shouldn't have had those opinions.
But they're also saying that, oh, it's okay because you can comment on these articles on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, away from where the people are, who are actually reading the article are located.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Take YouTube comments, for example. YouTube comments are, for the most part, utter garbage. But I'd rather have that than people having to fucking restrain themselves out of fear.
Well, how many times have you seen a news article and then under that you've seen comments and people are pointing out factual errors in the comments and linking to where people can get better information? That's a good thing.
Yeah, that is absolutely a good thing. It keeps them on their fucking toes. which they need to. This is just more of trying to be unquestioned.
Well, yeah, and because it's like, if you don't see that, then it might not occur to you to go find that same story on Facebook or Twitter or whatever and see what people there are saying about it.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the other option, they say, is submitting comments to the Letters to the Editor section, where, of course, they can choose which comments to post or not and even edit the comments they do post.
Don't even get me fucking started on shit like this. I have, on my local news, on the evening at about 5:30 every night, they have a segment called The Voice of the People. It is the worst thing on television, and you can bet your ass they cherry-pick the people that they let on those goddamn things.
Yeah.
You think they just let anybody call it? No, they make sure to pick the worst of the worst.
Well, I know of all the times I've written letters to newspapers like the Charlotte Observer. I think every single time it's been edited, which isn't always a bad thing. I mean, I know there's space limitations in an actual newspaper, and they haven't always edited it in a way that would change the meaning, but sometimes they have, and there's no way to let all of the readers know that, hey, they took that out of context, that's not really what I meant.
Well, I remember one time for my local news, I submitted a comment on Facebook, and they said they were reading comments on Facebook. And I submitted a comment, and they read it on the air, but they completely left out a lot of what I said to try and make it seem like I agreed with their point when I was saying how they were wrong.
Yeah, or they take out your actual arguments and just give your conclusion to make it sound like an assertion as opposed to an actual reasoned position.
Yeah, they do this kind of shit all the time, and that's the thing about news media. They originally were intended to let people know the truth, but now they try to give out their own story.
There are really two issues here. One is community. I mean, it's no longer the case where the newspaper just prints it and everyone reads it and it's one way. If you're going to survive online, you really need a community. You need a back and forth with your users. My YouTube channel would not be anywhere close to where it is if I weren't engaging with people in the comments. I probably wouldn't even have this podcast or the Bogosity.tv website without all that happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's what it's all about. And the other thing is transparency. We need to have as many people as possible second-guessing news outlets because, of course, they're not peer-reviewed. So, you know, when people talk about, oh, blogs aren't peer-reviewed, but if the blog has open commenting, that's kind of an informal peer review because if someone sees mistakes that have been made, they can post that in the comments.
Absolutely. And it's something that needs to happen. You need to have that kind of criticism available. You need to have people who are willing to look at this and fact check and make sure that what you're putting out there is legitimately true.
Yeah, so why not just install one of the many really awesome comment systems like Discus or something and just go with that and not have to worry about it, and you'd still have all of the advantages. There'd be a very minimal thing your tech people would have to do, and you'd still have this back and forth, this community, and this commentary going on.
Yeah, but why do that when you could just be lazy?
Yeah. So this note has all sorts of platitudes in it about how we love your comments. Yeah, we love your comments so much we're going to stop you from making them or bury them out in social media or wherever, so that people who are actually reading the article can't get to them. And all of that makes the Toronto Sun this week's biggest bogon emitter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to put our stinking, damn dirty eight paws on this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
So we just had the supermoon eclipse on Sunday, and religious idiots were predicting the end of the world, which of course didn't happen, just like all the other times religious idiots predicted the end of the world. But what's interesting is that there's one group of religious idiots that keeps somehow getting respect no matter how much their doomsaying is shown to be wrong. Now, all regular listeners know that we're not global warming deniers. The planet is warming, largely due to increased CO2, and humans are a contributing factor. But we've always been skeptical of doomsayers of all kinds, and in this case, it's French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius, who claimed that we only had 500 days to save the Earth from catastrophe, and that was well over 500 days ago.
Well, I guess Mr. Fabius isn't all that fabulous. The fabulous Fabius. Try saying that five times fast.
He's not as fabulous as Fabio.
No.
Yeah, so what he said on May 13th, 2014 was, quote, "We have 500 days to avoid climate chaos, and I know that President Obama and John Kerry himself are committed on this subject, and I'm sure that with them, with a lot of other friends, we shall be able to reach success in this very important matter."
Now, just going back to that quote for a second, I know that President Obama and John Kerry himself, what the fuck makes John Kerry special? Well, John Kerry himself is helping us.
Well, he's the Secretary of State.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just the wording. I would think Obama himself would sound more important than John Kerry himself. It just seems backwards. It's just funny to me.
So, there is a United Nations Climate Summit set for this November in Paris, and that will take place 565 days after we only had 500 days to avert climate chaos.
Well, damn.
But this 500-day warning was actually supported by then-Press Secretary Jay Carney, and he said it, quote, "Made clear in the view of the science that climate change is upon us, and the effects and impacts of climate change are being felt today." So this report that he's talking about, the National Climate Assessment, said things like, quote, "Frequency and duration of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes have increased since the early 1980s, and, quote, "Winter storms have increased in frequency and intensity and have shifted northward since the 1950s. The problem is we're in a decade-long hurricane low. In the last 10 years, no Category 3 or higher storm has made landfall in the United States. And when you consider that in the last 10 years, we were supposed to be at the peak of the hurricane cycle, that kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit, doesn't it?"
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I kind of just noticed that. Yeah, we really haven't.
Well, and it's October now. September, early September, is supposed to be the peak of hurricane seasons. And in those first few weeks, there were no tropical storm depressions or hurricanes anywhere on Earth. It wasn't until later in the month that we started getting the tropical storms and all the weather from them.
Yeah, like right now they're talking about Joaquin.
Yeah.
And now they're even saying, oh, now we're not even going to get it. I mean, I don't know, that could change later today as we're recording this. Meteorology is like that. But the point is, all this doom and gloom might not exactly be there like they're saying.
But they've already got the next one lined up. French President François Hollande, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, said on Tuesday it was too late to save the planet if they don't reach a climate agreement in Paris this year. And he said it's mankind's last chance to save the Earth from catastrophic global warming. Of course, they've been saying that for the last, what, 10 or 20 years?
Christ, that almost sounds like whenever it's going to be too late. We're going to have to shut the government down if we don't agree with this bill. I'm getting the same vibes, and it all still sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, global warming is a cause for concern, but you don't really have the data talking about this global climate chaos and all of this apocalypse that's supposed to come.
Here's the thing. I'm not an expert on global warming. I've never really put much time into researching it, so I probably don't have the best insight on this topic. But what I can say is, even if every aspect of global warming is true, even like the extreme doomsaying stuff, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that government is the answer to solving this problem. And that's what a lot of people are coming to the conclusion of.
Right, because their solution is all this government environmentalist activity, the same agenda that they've been pushing on us long before, you know, anyone said anything about global warming. It's like when you look at things they actually could do to lower our carbon emissions, like increase the number of nuclear reactors in the United States, you even dare to suggest that and people hit the ceiling.
I know. Or how about a better one? Stop blowing people up.
There you go. I mean, our military is by far the biggest polluter, by far putting the most carbon in the atmosphere than anyone.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I mean, just look at that recent incident in Colorado with the river.
Yeah.
That was the EPA that did that. If they can't even handle keeping a river clean, why should we trust them with our lives if we're going to be in this state of doom?
So Lauren Fabius and all other global warming doomsayers are well deserving of this week's...
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this, you know, I had a near-death experience like this, edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv, and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Dave Turcotte for joining me.
It was good to be here. I don't know if it's good for anybody else, and I'm not going to give you a cigarette either, but I had fun.
Until next time, here's a quote from Mark Twain. In religion and politics, people's beliefs and convictions are, in almost every case, gotten at secondhand and without examination from authorities who have not themselves examined the questions at issue, but have taken them at secondhand from other non-examiners whose opinions about them were not worth a brass farthing. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Well, I should probably finish that story I was talking about when I was talking about my Twitter account.
Oh, which story is this?
The one where I was posting that shit on feminism.
Oh, okay.
I never finished the story, but I said I was posting this stuff on feminism, and Travis, Jesus fucking Christ, he retweeted everything that I wrote. I mean, I'm going to give you an example here. My message tone, whenever I get like a Twitter notification or anything like that, is the chime that plays in the Sonic the Hedgehog games when you get a Chaos Emerald. Well, Jesus fucking Christ, after Travis was done, I could turn into goddamn Supersonic. And so anyway, so since he's retweeted it, people in his Twitter feed can see it. And one of the people actually commented to me and was like, and tried to engage in conversation. And the guy was an obvious statist, and he's like, I don't want this pre-sociology bullshit in my timeline. And I said to him, well, you take that up with Travis, because it sure as fuck ain't my problem.
Yeah.
You know, and then he ended up blocking me and unfollowing Travis. And I'm like, what the fuck do I care? But I go on Twitter rampages all the fucking time. I used to never do Twitter, and then all of a sudden Gamergate happened, and it's like, oh, hey, people are talking about shit. I should talk too.
Yeah, I still don't do that much on Twitter. Yeah.
And I guess before I go, I have time. I'm going to shill.
Okay.
Over on SuperplexBros.com right now, it is October as we record this. We are now starting Mario Month, which, obviously, as you know, Mario is the most famous of video game characters, and last month was the 30th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers.
I knew him back when he was called Jumpman.
Yeah, well, but he is getting a month dedicated to him on our website, and there's going to be all kinds of reviews for the games. I've already uploaded my review of the original Super Mario Brothers. In fact, Shane, if you would be so kind as to link that.
Give me the link for that.
I will. I just need to let my shitty-ass laptop load it. I swear to God, once it actually, like, starts working and everything, it's fine. It's just starting everything. That sucks.
Yeah.
But there is my Super Mario Brothers review. And it's funny, I when I wrote this review, I sent it to Matt, and I told him to read it. And he's like, God damn, you went a lot of fucking detail in this review! And I said, well, what the fuck do you expect? It's a game review. And he's like, well, I didn't expect you to go into that kind of detail for a game that old. That's not something I would do. And I was like, well, one, Super Mario Bros. Is one of the most revolutionary video games of all time. This game is literally responsible for saving the video game industry. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't.
In 1983, there was a video game crash. The home console market was basically dead. The Atari, the ColecoVision, the Intellivision, they just weren't selling anymore. And one, it was too saturated, and two, just the quality of the games that were coming out just weren't up to snuff that gamers cared, and they were just like, you know what, this ain't worth it, let's just go back to the arcades. Well, Nintendo made the Famicom, also known as the Nintendo Entertainment System, and Mario, Super Mario Bros., was one of the launch games for it in 1985. And people were like, holy shit, home games can do this? And video games became a thing again, and Mario blew up instantly. So, yeah, I mean, it is one of the most revolutionary video games ever in terms of, like, actually driving the video game market. Without that game, we probably wouldn't have the huge monolith of the video game industry today. The more you know. But anyway, to finish up what I'm saying, Mario Month is all October long. We have people looking at all kinds of Mario games. It's going to be pretty awesome. We've already got a few reviews up right now, and it's only going to get more awesome.